Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, we often have discussions about kidney health during our Medical Monday segments, but tonight, in addition to giving you the best health information about overall kidney health, transplants, dialysis, and more, we're starting with some very specific information about why some of us should pay more attention to their kidney health during this time of the year. Joining me to talk about this is Dr. Keith Mellencon. He is professor of surgery and at the George Washington School of Medicine and Health Science. Dr. Mellencon, thank you so much for joining the conversation. Always good to have you on the program.
Thanks, Al. It's always good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And by the way, lines are open if you have any comments or questions about your kidney health on this Medical Monday. Of course, the phone number is 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can always tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. So, Dr. Mellencon, this is something that I did not know, that during the warmer months, late spring, summer, and early fall, that kidney health is, you know, particularly important, even more so than any other time of the year. Explain that to us, please.
Yes, Harold. So, this is definitely true, that we have more problems in kidney health over the summer months primarily because it's hot. And because the temperature is warmer, we perspire more, we lose fluid. What that means is that your kidneys get less blood flow. So every time you get really dehydrated, you stress out your kidneys. That's why it is imperative that you drink a lot of water all the time, but particularly during the summer months, and even more so when you are participating in some sort of rigorous activity, because the more you perspire, the more fluid you need, and the fluid is essential to keeping your kidneys well hydrated. The way our bodies are created, we will shunt blood away from things like organs that are not as essential in times of stress. So if you're working your body out, you need that blood flow to go to your muscles, your lungs, your heart, your brain. And the blood flow going to the kidney will decrease. And the only way to make up for that is by hydration.
Is that for everyone, or is that specifically for groups who may be more at risk?
Well, it is for everyone, but it is even more important for groups that are at risk, because people that are at risk, like I've said on this program before, you may already have early kidney disease. So people that already have early kidney disease can progress if they hurt their kidneys more on top of their baseline disease. In other words, if you're already at a stage one and you become dehydrated, you can progress to a stage two and so on and so forth.
Is that reversible?
Well, again, remember, there are five stages of kidney disease. And the good news is that the early stages, that would be stage one, two, and early stage three, can be reversible if you can reverse the cause of your kidney disease in the first place.
So let me get this straight, because you know I have my medical degree out of a Rice Krispies box. for the folks in the back, if your kidney is damaged because of dehydration and some of these other issues, can and you go from, say, a stage one to a stage two, or stage two to a stage three, can it repair itself, or Or is that once you get to stage three, it may stay there at stage three, not go to stage two or not go to stage four if you take care of yourself? Help me with that.
Yeah, no, very good question. So let me just give you a common scenario. One of the most common causes of kidney disease would be high blood pressure. Okay, so, you know, we're talking about the summer months. You may have stage one or stage two disease because of your ongoing high blood pressure. And you get dehydrated and you progress to early stage three. Well, you're going to hydrate yourself and in order to move back to at least where you were to get back to stage two. But more importantly, long term, you need to fix the cause of your kidney disease. So the cause is high blood pressure. And for that person, what they need to do is get their blood pressure under control. What I find is that most people don't know what that means to get their blood pressure under control. And what I mean by that is your blood pressure needs to go into the normal range and stay there throughout the course of the day. So one of the things I'm always giving people advice on is that they need to go to their local drugstore and just buy a sphygmomanometer, better yet known as a blood pressure cuff. So they go to the store, buy them a blood pressure cuff. You can get one for about $20, and you should take your blood pressure throughout the course of the day. That top number, which should always be less than 140. If it's over 140 at any point during the day, then that's too high. That top number is too high. The bottom number should always be below 180. And the same thing, it should be below 180 at all times of the day. And whatever medications that you're taking, if you're having to take blood pressure medicine, you need to make sure that the medicines are working to keep you in the normal range. If you keep your blood pressure in the normal range, and that was the reason you had kidney disease, then keeping it in the normal range for months at a time will eventually, usually, get your kidney function to improve. It may not go all the way back to normal without any kidney disease, but it will move in the right direction. And as long as you're in the early stage three or stage two or stage one, you can improve your kidney function.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about kidney health on this Medical Monday. We're talking about some things that we really haven't touched on when it comes to kidney health before on this program, how you need to pay special attention to your kidney health during the warm months. If you have a comment, if you have a question about kidney health, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Of course, we are answering questions all the way up until just before 8 o'clock. Rose calling from Bowie. Hey, Rose, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi there. I just wanted to say first, I love everything that you're doing with your show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for that. And thank you for having this particular conversation. I'm just coming from visiting a family member that had to be put on dialysis ASAP when she went to a doctor's visit. And they told her that she's at stage 5 kidney disease. Mm. And I was wondering if there is any turning back or improvement for that.
Good question. Doctor?
Yes, Rose, thanks for your question. And unfortunately, you know, your family member is in a situation that I see quite often in my practice. And usually, you know, unfortunately, once you get to stage 5, that's usually the point of no return, meaning that it's exceedingly rare that someone that is at stage 5 would ever get off of dialysis without a transplant. So someone that's at stage 5 usually needs to stay on dialysis until they can be transplanted if they are a good enough candidate for a new kidney. Now, having said that, you know, I've seen miraculous things happen in the course of my career, and I have seen people get a little bit better and come off of dialysis for a period of time, even at stage 5. But for for the majority of patients, way more than 90%. Stage 5 is the point of no return, and that patient needs to be following the recommendations of their doctors, staying on dialysis, and hopefully will be a good enough surgical candidate to undergo transplant.
Okay. Rose, thank you so much for your phone call. We are having a Medical Monday conversation about your kidney health. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Scott calling from Maryland. Scott, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Scott, are you there? Scott, give me a call back if you can. You said something that made me think, Dr. Melanchon. You said, if you are a good enough candidate for a transplant, what does that mean? What is a good enough candidate?
Yes. Thanks, Hal. Great question. And really what I'm talking about is being a good surgical candidate.
Mm-hmm.
So patients that make good surgical candidates are going to have good cardiac function, good pulmonary lungs, good lung function, and not have a history of usually numerous operations in their abdomen, which makes them, you know, much more difficult to operate on. In order to be a transplant candidate, you cannot have active, ongoing, really bad infections, and you cannot have active cancer. So that's what I mean when I say good surgical candidate.
Okay. 202-319-7810. This is a Medical Monday conversation. We're talking about kidney health. Sharon, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. Sharon, what's on your mind?
Yes. I was told I have Gittleman's disease, and I know I have a problem with my potassium. It's always low. However, my blood pressure has always been fine. So I'm trying to figure out how does this affect my kidney.
And what is that, Gilderman's disease? I didn't quite.
Gilderman disease.
You're familiar with that, Dr. Melanchon?
Yeah. We do see that. It's actually, well, at least for patients that go on to transplant, I don't see it that often. But it is a disease of the kidneys, and it's usually seen in people that have potassium and magnesium abnormalities. So these patients need to be under the care of a kidney doctor. So that's what's going to be most important, because they don't necessarily go on to kidney failure, although they can. But the most important thing for Sharon would be to have a nephrologist. So I hope she already has a nephrologist. But the nephrologist will put them on the sort of medications that can keep the magnesium and potassium levels stable in their blood, because it's the buildup of those ions that can cause problems in other parts of the body, like the heart and the muscles. Because all of our tissues that contract need to utilize those ions for their contraction. So people with Gettleman's disease, they will have problems with their muscles, with their heart movement, things of that nature. But it should be controlled, or can be controlled, with medications, and that's going to be via a kidney doctor.
Okay. Sharon, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about kidney health, not just overall health. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. We're going to talk about transplants. We're going to talk more about dialysis. We're going to talk about older kidney patients. We're going to talk about some of the younger ones as well, some of the signs that you need to pay attention to. And as we started the program, we're going to talk about the impact of warm weather months on your overall kidney health and what you need to make sure to pay attention to so that you can be as healthy as you possibly can be. Betty from Maryland, we're going to talk to you next, so please do not hang up. Vonda calling from Maryland. You just picked up. You just called. Stay with us. You will be able to hear the program. 202 319-7810-202-319-7810. Of course, as always, we're still taking phone calls all the way up until just before 8 o'clock. So stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. This conversation will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our Medical Monday conversation about kidney health. My guest is Dr. Keith Mellon-Kahn, Professor of Surgery at the George Washington University School of Medicine and Health Science. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Betty calling from Maryland. Thanks for hanging on, Betty. What's on your mind?
I have a question in reference to people say milk thistle is good for flushing out your kidneys. And also, how do you know if your kidneys are bad? Is there a test out there you can get from a drugstore or...
Okay,
I always think about kidneys.
You said that you've heard that what is good for flushing out your kidneys?
Milk thistle.
Milk thistle, as in T-H-I-S-T-L-E?
Exactly.
What is milk thistle?
I just saw it on a YouTube video. It's an herb that you can
take. It's an herb. Okay. Milk. Are you familiar with that, Dr. Mellon-Kahn?
Yes, I'm definitely familiar with milk thistle, and you know it is an herb, as Betty said, and it has all sort of purported benefits, including you know helping the kidneys and liver, things of that nature. You know, and I can't say that the herb will not work and do some good for her. But the issue with all of these herbs, and milk thistle is not the only one, is that, you know, these medications, because they are medications, even though, you know, they're sold in natural food stores and you don't need a prescription, but they are medications. And the problems are that they're not tested in the way that, you know, prescription medications are tested. And that's why there can be problems. However, you know, if someone told me, you know, I want to take milk thistle, I think that's perfectly fine. But I would say, as you're taking any medicine or herb, that it's important to check with your doctor and make sure it doesn't interact with any other medications. And this is where we can get into problems. So you're taking an herbal medicine, and then you're taking, let's say, a prescription blood pressure medicine or diabetes medicine or anything of that sort. So it's very important to always let your doctor know when you are taking an herbal medicine or if you want to take an herbal medicine, how it interacts with the medications that you are currently taking. And then furthermore, you want to get blood work done. Now, Betty asked about what tests can you get even in the drugstore to check for kidney disease. And one of the easiest things to do, and this is what we do when we go out for outreach, is to look for protein in your urine. Now, a little protein dipstick can be purchased in a drugstore, and it will turn colors if the amount of protein in your urine is too high. That is the earliest sign of kidney disease. Okay? Now, that is the earliest sign. So, as a matter of fact, that's exactly what stage one kidney disease is. It's not even picked up in a blood test. So even the most common test that people get at the doctors, which is blood work, will not pick up stage one or even stage two kidney disease. It's picked up by a urinalysis. You need to look inside the person's urine. But you can just do this very cheap dipstick test and see if the dipstick changes color. If it changes color, and it detects protein, you know, these dipsticks can also be utilized to detect glucose. If either one of those things are in your urine, then that's abnormal. If it's glucose, that means you probably are a diabetic. And if you have protein, it means you have early kidney disease. So that's the easiest and best test to get. But I would recommend everyone, if you can, if you have access, to go to a yearly checkup. And when you go to that yearly checkup, besides the normal blood work that you get, you should get ask your doctor to make sure you have a urinalysis. And here's the other key when you go to the doctor every year. You need to compare your blood work and your urine test from the year before, because you can be in a normal range, but you could have moved in the wrong direction over the last year. And that's important. And to be perfectly honest, sometimes doctor's offices will miss that your labs have worsened. But that's also important, because you can your blood work can show that your kidneys are still in the normal range, but your function went down. And you want to be alerted to that if it has occurred.
So before we let Betty go, something just occurred to me as well. How does, from your perspective, doctor, how does milk thistle compare to just good old-fashioned H2O and drink it, and just drinking a lot of water to flush your kid? I mean, I'm not being flip at all, but to me, you know, again, like I said, you know, my medical degree comes from, you know, cornflakes box, but okay. I think that the thing that we have heard time and time again from you, doctor, and other kidney specialists, for people who do not yet, you know, have, you know, major kidney disease worries, but, you know, they want to run to the store and buy this pill and drink this solution because it'll flush your kidneys, when the thing that we've been hearing for decades is drink your water. Make sure you drink your water. And I'm thinking that's a whole lot cheaper than running to the store to get your milk thistle or whatever else you're going to get.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, Harold. The best thing you can do is to drink enough water. And a lot of people don't know what that means, drinking enough water. And what enough water means, you know, you should drink like eight regular glasses of water a day at least, right? Can you drink too much water? Yes, you can. But to get to the point where you're drinking too much water, you're really drinking more than 2 to 3 liters in a day. So everyone knows what a big 2-liter jug of soda looks like. You would need to drink more than that every day to be drinking too much water. So there's a lot of room from what most Americans drink in a day. And one of the things that people ask is, well, you know, I drink a lot of, and then fill in the blank. It could be Gatorade. It could be soda or whatever. And that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about water. And here is the other thing. You know, so many people are now on diets where they're eating a lot more fruits and vegetables. And actually, one of the main benefits of fruits and vegetables is, besides them being more healthy, a lot of fiber, they have a lot of water in them. So they also give you a lot of really, really good sources of water. But you should be drinking at least 8 glasses of water. And Harold, you're absolutely right. That is the best thing to do, much better than any sort of herbal medicine you could get at the natural food store.
Yeah, and you know, Betty, I'm not trying to, you know, discourage you from any kind of, natural supplement journey, but I'm just looking at the prices here. Water is cheaper.
Yeah, and I'd usually have it if I had, like, some cheesecake. I'm like, I'm getting ready to flush this out my liver.
You mean your kidneys?
Oh, yeah, my kidneys.
Yeah. Well, good luck to you, Betty.
That's a good practice, because here's the thing. You know, and the same thing with fruits and vegetables. I tell people, even if you're going to eat a piece of meat or a steak, making sure you have a salad and some vegetables to go with that makes that steak even healthier. Same thing with water. So no matter what you take, by drinking a lot more water, you make it healthier. So that's a good practice Betty.
Amen.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Betty. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Vonda calling from Maryland. Hey, Vonda, how are you? What's on your mind?
I'm fine. I'm good. Hi. This is actually a good subject for me. I am an Iraq combat veteran. I serve. And since I've been back, a lot of things have been popping up. Now, don't get me wrong. The VA is taking good care of me. And I've had issues with both of my kidneys. They just did a biopsy on the left. And now I'm doing kind of okay. But, doctor, again, I love my surgeon. But I want to hear from somebody that looks like me. You know, they want me to do a procedure. And I agree to it from the two options. And I want to get your opinion and see what you thought. It's a laparoscopic. Is that procedure? They're going to go through the back, through the ribs or something. Whatever, I'm being tied down or whatever. And she said it's like 98% effective where they'll get it off. And, you know, I mean, they take care of me. I trust them. But sometimes you want to hear from a doctor that looks like you, you know, that knows your body and your makeup. So, but again, I love my VA doctor. She good. I pray over her hands before she touched me. So I'm good. So what do you think?
And a second opinion is not a bad thing, doctor.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree. I think second opinions are very, very important. But Ms. Vonda, I just wanted to ask.
Yes.
You said that you have a mass on your kidney. Is that what it is?
Well, it was. She said it, that I'm. You got excuse me. I have traumatic brain. Half time I can think. So she says I have. It's like they see cancer in there. Or whatever in there, you know. And I think it's like little masses or whatever. But she said, yeah, they're gonna go in there instead of burning it. Because I'm like, nah, don't be burning me. She said they do the laparoscopic or whatever, and they can, this will actually cut out more of it in a bigger mass or something like that.
Oh,
I see.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, I definitely understand.
And not burning me.
Right. Yeah, no. So, yes, Ms. Vonda, that procedure definitely can be done safely in a laparoscopic or robotic fashion. And what they do is they will go in and uncover your kidney from where it sits inside of your body. And the area where the mass is, they can use cautery, basically almost like a hot knife, and safely cut the mass away from your kidney, leaving the rest of the kidney intact, but removing the area that looks like cancer. And that definitely can be done safely, and it is a fairly common procedure that's done in the United States. And the good news about kidney cancer, if it definitely is cancer, is that it is a very slow-growing tumor, and that's why it is it's very much amenable to removal in that fashion, without the risk that it's going to spread around your body and even cause you to have metastasis where the cancer would spread or lead to your death. So yes, it is it's a safe procedure. It is commonly done, and I do believe that if you have cancer, that is a reasonable way to have it addressed.
So what you're saying is they can take out the mask and the kidney can still operate even though a small piece of it has been removed?
Yes, that is correct, Harold. Right. They usually will recommend this when you have a small mass in one segment of the kidney. So that way that little segment can be safely removed. The rest of the kidney is unscarred, untouched, and will continue to function normally.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds to me, you know, based on your description, that this simple surgery, what's the recovery time for something like that? Assuming that it's a small mass and it is done in the way that you've described.
Right. So it's called minimally invasive surgery. So she will need to be in the hospital for a couple of days. But the pain is minimal because of the small incisions. And the patient is usually in the hospital no more than 2 to 3 days and can be back to normal activities within 2 to 3 weeks.
I'm trying to help you here, Vonda. So it sounds like you're going to be okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Bless you. Keep doing what you do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good luck, Vonda.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. It's a Medical Monday conversation. We're talking about kidney health. Let's talk to Dawn, calling from Maryland. Dawn, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, Harold. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
I'm calling. A couple of months ago, I had COVID, and I couldn't reach my primary doctor, so I just said, well, I'll take anybody. And when I talked to that doctor and was just explaining what was going on, she asked me, did I know that I had low kidney function? And I was like, no. How long ago was this? And she said, a year ago. And I was like, okay. So I waited till I got through my COVID, and I called my primary, and I asked him, why wasn't I informed that I had low kidney function a year ago? And he basically told me that, my numbers compared to the year before hadn't changed much, and I shouldn't be concerned. And my concern is I'm a cancer survivor from 2010, and during that time I had issues with my kidneys. So I had to keep getting liver function panels. So should I be concerned, or should I just go with what he said, like, oh, no, this is your numbers haven't changed. I'm concerned. So I don't know what I should do.
Yes, Dawn, very good question, and unfortunately I've seen this a lot in my career, and the answer is yes, absolutely, you should be concerned. I think that doctors oftentimes dismiss these concerns, and it's totally unwarranted. I'm not saying your doctor's not a good doctor, but you need to be concerned about your kidney health. So what you need to know is exactly how low is your kidney function. So the normal GFR is like 90.
What is GFR, doctor?
So it's glomerular filtration rate. And usually whenever you get blood work, they will have a separate category where they have the GFR, the glomerular filtration rate, and that number, a normal healthy number, is going to be like 90. But when doctors usually start to get worried is when that number drops below 60. Okay, so if your number is below 60, then you are already through the early stages of kidney disease. So I would want to know is, you know, do you have diabetes? Do you have high blood pressure? Are you overweight? Because by manipulating any of those things, you could make that number possibly better, even though it's been a year that the number has been low. Here is the thing that can be concerning, is that you just had COVID, and COVID can affect your kidneys. So when you have marginal, it's kind of like how we started the conversation of people that get dehydrated and they already may have some kidney problems. You already may have some kidney dysfunction, and that COVID could have made your kidneys sicker. So I would say you need to have your blood work followed more frequently than once a year. So you just were told that your kidney function was decreased. Well, within the next few months, you should get your testing done again to see if it is stable. Now, it sounds like your doctor was telling you that it had been stable for a year, which is good. But like I said, in the meantime, you should be doing things to increase your kidney health. More water, which is what Harold's been talking about all night. And also, you can decrease red meat ingestion, going to leaner types of meat. And then, like I said, exercising, losing weight. All these things are ways that you can decrease the stress on your kidney.
Okay. Sure. Well, Dawn, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Before we go to Dana, hold on, because I have a question about overall kidney health related to the age of a person. A lot of times when we talk about kidney health, dialysis, transplants and all of this. We talk about people who are well into adulthood and even, you know, middle age and seniors. But what about young people, people under the age of say 25 years old, doctor, outside of any acute kidney disease, are they at risk of having problems with their kidneys? Teenagers, people in their early 20s and the like.
Yeah, Harold. Unfortunately, even young people can be at risk. Now, people can be born with issues that can lead to kidney problems.
Right.
These are called congenital problems. So oftentimes, these kids are diagnosed early after birth or even before birth. But there are diseases that can manifest relatively young in a person's life or early in a person's life while they are still young. There are diseases that are inherited. These are genetic diseases, and this can affect people early in life. So that's why it is important, even for young people, even teenagers and younger, every year they need to be going to their pediatrician and having the same sort of test run looking for early forms of kidney disease. Pediatricians are very good, even better than adult doctors many times, for looking for early kidney disease.
Okay.
It's very unusual for children to have high blood pressure or teenagers to have high blood pressure. And that usually will start a very large workup looking for the cause. So pediatricians are very good at this. But, yeah, unfortunately, even young people can be at risk for our kidney disease, and if anything is abnormal, their parents need to be very vigilant in making sure that they are closely followed up, because I have many patients that their kidney problems started very young, or they were diagnosed with something while they were young that was not adequately treated, and the most common thing being is high blood pressure. Like okay. I said, a teenager should not have high blood pressure.
Absolutely. Let's go to Dana. Dana calling from Phoenix, Arizona. Dana, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I just have a question in reference to GI issues. I listened to the previous caller. She was talking about kidneys.
Go ahead. Dana, can you hear us? Go ahead. Yes. We're listening.
Oh, okay. So for me, I was in an automobile accident, and it was years ago. I'm still learning about injuries that I suffered at that time that were just, I was ignored. And my biggest complaint was chest pains and GI issues. Recently, I had a breast MRI conducted, and it discovered that the lobe is it's a cyst on the left part of my liver, and it's paining me, but I can't seem to get a GI doctor to like really investigate what it is or what it potentially can be.
Well, Dana, we are talking about kidney health, but I'm not sure if Dr. Melancone can address this liver issue, but doctor, I'll let you take a run at it if you can.
Sure. Well, you know, pain, abdominal pain should be worked up. Particularly, it sounds like this lady, Dana, has a diagnosis of something going on with her liver. Usually a GI doctor will become involved with liver issues if there's some sort of abnormal imaging and or labs. So in a normal chemistry, they can add on liver function tests. That'll tell you a lot about what's going on with the liver, at least its function. And then a CT scan of the abdomen or an MRI of the abdomen is the best way for doctors to see what's going on inside the liver. But ongoing abdominal pain after her trauma that's not normal, so it should be investigated.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Dana, do your best to take care of yourself. And if one doctor is not helpful, find another.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much. Let's go to Rita. Rita calling from Suitland, Maryland. Hey, Rita. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just wanted to let you know that I'm already stage 3 kidney disease. Mm. And I just had a new doctor. I think my last reading was for my last, and I don't know if it was creatine or something like that, was 1.2. But the new doctor is telling me that I should not be on a regular diet and eat no more meat for the rest of my life and no more cheese for the rest of my life. I was taking a medication called Truvada that damaged my kidneys, which was to treat HIV. And I hear you say eat more leaner meats, but you're not saying don't eat or don't eat red meats, but you're not saying don't eat meat at all.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So, Rita, I will say that being at stage 3, you can have an improvement in your kidney function, and it sounds like that's what this doctor is trying to see. If your creatinine, you said it's 1.2, which is probably just a little bit elevated for someone your size, if they could get the creatinine to go down. Because as the creatinine goes down, your GFR goes up, your stage can go in the right direction. So for you, from a stage 3, the point would be to try to get you to a stage 2. Because at a stage 2, or even a stage 3, honestly, you can stay at that level of kidney function for a long time. So you need to be thinking about this in a very chronic sort of way. How do I improve my kidney function? Because the longer I hold on to good kidney function, the better it is for my survival and my health. So what the doctor is telling you is to get rid of meat and cheese, because these things are going to decrease the stress on your kidney. Now, is it possible to still eat meat and decrease the stress? Yes, and that's what I was talking about earlier. You can go to leaner forms of meat. So, and then you can decrease the times during a week that you have meat. However, I do agree with your doctor that what they're trying to do is, in a expedited fashion, drastically improve your kidney function. All right, so what we were talking about with water intake, that would be true for you as well. But by decreasing animal protein, increasing plant protein, and just overall increasing your healthfulness, you are going to probably get better kidney function. You're at a stage where it can get better. Some medications, like the one that you mentioned, for people that already have compromised kidney function, they can hurt your kidney. That's why I mentioned what I said earlier about even herbal medicine. But medications can be problematic as your kidney function decreases. But I would say that, yes, the diet sounds good. Over time, however, you could slowly reincorporate just small amounts of animal protein in your diet, as long as it's lean, if things improve.
Yeah. Rita, thank you so much for your phone call, and we certainly wish you the absolute best of health. I have one more question of my own for you, doctor, and this is really, really important. We've spoken about, you know, intakes of water and food and the like, but what kind of, you know, over-the-counter medicines can be problematic for your kidney health, whether you're talking about Advil, aspirin, ibuprofen, Aleve, those kinds of things, cough syrups, allergy medicines, what kinds of medicines would you say people need to just to be aware of?
Yes, Harold. You and I have spoken about this before, and you've mentioned a bunch of them. And the thing about it, about these medicines, that class of medications are called non-steroidals. So aspirin, ibuprofen, Advil, Motrin, naproxen, these medicines are oftentimes inside other medicines, like cold medications or headache medications. So you need to be mindful of that. If you have any sort of kidney issue, you should be avoiding all the medicines that I just mentioned. And a good substitute would be acetaminophen or Tylenol-like medication, because Tylenol is a similar medicine taken for pain relief or headache relief, but it's not a non-steroidal. So that's a good substitute. But all those medicines that you mentioned. The other thing would be things like protein shakes, a lot of protein, concentrated protein, and creatine, which a lot of these young people take to build muscle. These are other things that you should avoid if you have any sort of kidney problems. So people need to be mindful of all these medicines that we mentioned or medicines that contain them, and they need to be mindful of things like protein shakes and creatine.
Okay.
If you have any sort of kidney problem, you should mention it to your treating physician, because they should know what to avoid.
Okay. Dr. Keith Mellencon, always a pleasure to talk to you. I always learn something when you are on the program. So thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Always.
Have a great evening.
That is the Daily Drum for this Monday, June 5th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.